Sima Samach Zayin is Beis. We're starting the halachas of cholov, of the milk, cholov akum, milk that comes from a non-Jewish source. And what I told you yesterday is that we have to make a distinction between milk, cheese, and butter. In the meantime, we're talking about milk. And Mitzvah Shem will get to the other products as well. We're up to Sif Beis. Shvachai shechel veis habehema bebeis Yisrael. If you have a Jewish cow, not a Jewish cow, a cow owned by a Jew, and he has his maidservant is doing the milking in the Jew's house, or bedir sholahem, or in the Jew's barn. Imein beis hagoy mafsik, bein beis Yisrael lahadir. If there's no non-Jewish, presence between the house and the barn or the corral, and the Jewish owned farm has only kosher animals. It's not common in the Chutz La'aretz, in Israel. There are Jewish owned milking places such as Kibbutz Chafetz Chaim, where they milk the cows, and there. It's all automated, really, but if they want to have a guy do it, they can do it. It's incredible. Have you ever seen the automated machines in Chafetz Chaim? Unbelievable. The cows walk in, and they're automated. They're milking. You call it Chol of Stam, you know. Not Chol of Akum, it's not Chol of Yisrael. It's Chol of Shell machines.
The guy puts on the machine.
Yeah, okay. The base guy, mafsik, dinai, kibbeis ha-guy. This heter that if Goyish workers are working there is mutter in a place like Kibbutz Chafetz Chaim where it's all Jewish owned. If, however, there's a non-Jewish home in between the Jewish home and his farm, then it needs supervision. But fikah kada ktana b'nei tesh shanim ma'ilim da'akum mirtas. If it's Jewish owned, even a child is good because it's only... You have to be careful that the guy doesn't bring in non-kosher animals, so the guy is mirtis that someone will tell.
If he knows that home of the guy has no animals, is that mutter?
So that we had yesterday, that's not adequate. It has to be the whole city. There's no milk. Even in this whole city, there's no non-kosher animal. It was a matter of dispute. But the heter was, if there's none in the city, there's none in the home, that could change in an instant. So without supervision, you don't know that hasn't changed. Well, we're afraid that the guy has some milk. If he's got a non-kosher animal, he's got the milk, so why bother milking? It's not easy to milk, so you might as well dump in your milk there and do it. You know... So I'm not sure if the answer is that it's a loy plug or if that is a real chshat. I'm not sure. I'm not sure which is the correct answer.
He doesn't want to waste his milk. He has some kind of milk coming from whatever animal.
Yeah, well, the guy, the Jew is the one who's going to do the business with it. It's,
maybe he has cheaper milk.
Cheaper milk. Okay. I mean, I don't think there's a market for camel milk, but he's, yeah, okay. What? I don't know. You know, until you're actually there, it's hard to know if there's what to be chayshish for. We somehow picture things easy. I don't know. I'm not sure. Afilu lo ira klal mutter kim shemei mis Yisrael v'diyah shei Yisrael. B'diyevet, we're talking about chayshish. As long as it's a Jewish-owned animals and the Jewish property, so it's mutter. So this is a heter, which, as I said, in the game, more in Eretz Yisrael than in the Chutz La'aretz. Gimel is kutach. Kutach is a dip. I don't know what the English name is. I think kutach is English, is a transliteration usually.
Porridge.
What?
Porridge.
Porridge? No, kutach is not porridge. Kutach, we know, contains old bread crusts,
sour milk,
and a lot of salt. So, therefore, in Gemara, it's a very popular product because it comes out in Hilchis Pesach, because it has chametz in it, in Hilchis Milachiks, because it has sour milk in it, And the halachis of davacharif, because it has a tremendous amount of salt in it as well. It may have other ingredients. Now, nobody eats kuta. Kuta is a dip. It's used, like no one eats mustard, right? You just dip something into mustard. So this is some, what?
Kuta
chabavli, Babylonian kuta. So kuta shogai akum. Dainu shekairin. Oh, now you know its English name. I have shin mem aleph nun tes. You have something after the test. Sin samach, okay. Smant. Smetana. Smetana is the cream, is the cream on top of the milk. Anyway, if it's thick, yesh oisim yesh matirin. Why? Shahare cholav tame einoi oimed. Because cholav of a non-kosher cow does not develop into a layer of butterfat on top. Now, butter, according to the halacha, butter does not have to be Chalav Yisrael. Because butter can only be made from Chalav of a kosher animal. There was never a gzeira on Chalav. Shulchan Aruch says in places where the minig is to be makbid, were makbid. In Tarvadas, when I was there, the butter was government, USDA, butter. Everything else was called Yisrael, except for the butter.
Even Lakewood, they all had the government butter.
You had the same butter out a whole year. You know how much you guys use butter. It came in these squares of butter that were hard, like you needed to chisel to. And then they went through a stage, they put out both. But it's just guys don't use enough butter to make a fuss over it. Guys don't really use much butter.
They had both butters.
They had later. When we were in the dorm, they had only Chalav Stam. Then they went through a stage where they had two. They had the yellow and the pale, like the Chalav Yisrael. And then they switched to Chalav Yisrael. I don't think they have much butter anymore. Anyway, the Hasam Yesh Lachush L'Chalav, it's even more kuladik than butter. Theoretically, in butter, you could have some liquid droplets between the butter fat. In here, where would be bottle? It's just a physical difference. That's all. If it's a thick the sour milk or the sour cream in it. But if it's a soft one, yesh by cholav harbei, that has a lot of milk, also kabash kasar shamashach. It's like, I guess, the difference between yogurt and fats. Avam muadayin solul, shishoysim by kava. If it's liquidy, such as they put into milk, the cream that they put into milk, into coffee, also kuliyama, shayidu shesh by cholav harbei, the milk they used to sell the cream to pour in, so that cream,
heavy cream
is liquidy, and since it's liquidy, it could have. He says yodua sheish bechalav harbe, and therefore it does not have a din of butter; it has a din of milk.
Rav Kana held that he was the only person who held that ice cream. The real ice cream could only be made like butter, with real milk. This was his shita.
The old ice cream was made from cream.
Yeah,
today's ice cream is not made that way.
Right, but he said, it's different from the past, but he said that ice cream really is good, because ashkacha, of course you have to have ashkacha to be kosher, but since it has the same properties as butter, so that you don't need to have Chalav Yisrael on that.
Okay.
But it's changed anyway. The technology has changed dramatically.
Well, today they make ice cream from milk. Today, fat is out of style. The world changed. Fatty things were once good. Today, fatty things are bad. So that was 50 years ago, when you had, let's say, glycerin, it was all vegetable glycerin. Because animal fat, they weren't going to waste on glycerin. People liked animal fat. Today, nobody wants fat. So there's a lot of animal fat. And I was once in a butcher store watching Nikur, so they trim all the fat off. Garbage, they look like garbage trucks. They come around collecting the fat. They're not garbage. I mean, they're garbage trucks. But they're, they're with the back loader and it dumps it in. All the fat goes in there and it gets dumped in. It gets hauled to a place where it's used. I don't know what they use it for. Glycerin for different chemical things. But the fat today is not, is not treated with respect. Nobody wants it. So the same thing is true with the ISP. Narrowly, the cut and charif neman afilu min shei shlabide etzachaliva. Now, to have supervision for kashrus, you have to have someone over bar mitzvah. But for milking, it's like a shomer by yichud. You just have to have a person who talks a lot. So if he's a 6-year-old and he's very sharp, like my grandchildren, then they're adequate to be at the milking. Loi mi boy imagoy yadea shasal Yisrael does mirtis. No question if the guy's afraid, because he knows he's not supposed to do it. Afilim eini yadea minig Yisrael, loi shayach mirchis, afilo hachi neman. Since it's only a drabanan, so we trust the child to keep an eye and see if something comes in. Now, if the guy wants to fool him, he could fool him. But mamanafshav, if the guy knows, so then we say he's mirtis. If the guy doesn't know, then he's not going to deliberately fool anybody.
Why shouldn't you use the video today?
Why you shouldn't use the video?
Technology today is unbelievable.
Yeah. There are very practical reasons not to use it. This idea, one idea which they do use is the automated turning on of Bishul Yisrael. They have somebody calls from an office and punches some buttons and turns on an oven. So that's done today. As far as supervising milk with a closed circuit TV, the problem is, what do you do if it goes down? Computers go down sometimes. What do you do if it goes down? You have a whole facility running. It's the whole system running. So I just think it's just not practical. What are you going to do? It's going to be a problem. Things are going to keep on going. Now, if you could set it up so that they're mirtis, they don't know the system is down, maybe that should be enough. I don't know. If they're mirtis, it should be adequate. But, okay.
Wouldn't that save a lot of problems? It won't save the other problem of we said about
the treifus issue, but it'll help for the Chav Yisrael. Yeah. Okay. All right. It's very hard to do things without a consensus. And, I don't know.
What?
A Dalit. Nearly, there's another thing. When you're in a place, when you're in a facility, you really have to keep an eye on where the pipings are coming from and going from. You know, it was one of the big quiet scandals. It was about, I'm guessing it was, I can't believe I'm married 37 years. It's my anniversary today. And I tell everyone I get married, you test Kislev. I didn't get too many cakes, you know. So I was still a bacher then. It was a little over 40 years ago. There was a quiet scandal. There was a place that made eggs, egg whites, frozen egg whites or frozen egg yolks, and they manufactured and they sold it. They had a kosher place and a non-kosher, and they were separate. The mashgiach was draying around, and he found that there were pipes from the non-kosher going into the kosher. Now you'll say, why in the world would anybody care about eggs? They're all kosher. The quality of frozen egg yolks is greater if you mix in the egg yolks that you get from slaughtered chickens. When they slaughter a chicken, the insides get thrown in the garbage. Now, a mature chicken has a cluster of egg yolks in it. And those egg yolks are very fatty. And by putting that into frozen egg yolks, you get a better quality product. And when you make things from it, it's better quality. The mashgiach there caught that there were, probably for a very long time, there were pipes from the treif coming into the kosher. So you could stand there all day with 2,000 mashgichim in that plant, but you have a pipe coming from another plant in, and you have a problem. So he was very afraid. He made calls quietly to the Jewish, to all of them. He made to a lot of them. I know my father at that time stopped using frozen egg yolks. He started using only fresh eggs. And, people thought because of the Klausenberger's chumra, overnight eggs. That was not why my father did it. My father didn't even know anything about it. I told him, if you have leftovers overnight, you gotta throw something in. He was doing it purely for kashrus reasons. And, well, they did. They bought rice because it really was. The mice was fresh eggs. You had these two Russian ladies. Very interesting. They could take two eggs in their hands, crack them, and come away with the, just the eggshell. You can imagine that? Two, one after the other. And they broke it into a small container where they checked for blood, and then they poured it into the big container. That's when they switch it. But my point is that sometimes you give a hechsher, you have a video as an extra thing is good, but you really have to have people on the ground making sure.
Can't go around, but he doesn't have to go
constantly. Right? Right? You know, that's true, 100% true. All right, now, hey, is the Goldenberg Peanut Shoes Shiloh. Okay? Let's see what the Shiloh is. Cholav shel goy. Shiloh is, you have cholav akum. So you don't drink cholav akum. But what happens if they make milftika peanut shoes and flesh and parva peanut shoes in the same plant? So they're using the same utensils for milchik and for parv. Now, for parv, it's not a problem. It's an aparnat, so you're just not allowed to eat the peanut shoes with meat, which nobody eats peanut shoes with meat anyway. But the shaila is if it's a blia. So let's see what it says here. Or you go to somebody who's not makpin achal v'Yisrael, and he cooked for you something parv in his kalim. Do the kalim, if you're makpin, do the kalim aser. So the Chachmas Adam says, cholav shel goy, oiseres kalim shenispash loban, kishar iser. It does ask that the kalim alpha bishayni rak safik shema ira vaytaver tame va'oyser ad shishim by bishalakum. We had a kula that only asks raiv, and therefore we said a blia doesn't ask her, but here it asks ad shishim who had in gavina shalem ubehefsin meruba efsher yesh lisbechalis vehetid the matter of filu begavina shenis bashlo batal baraiv. Says here that in the case of a hefsin meruba, you're allowed to be makel on the blias of the kalim. Even though cheese, you should be machmir, but milk, you could be makel. So in the case of the peanut shoes, what it says here is that hefsin meruba, you could be saimach on it. So this, when I was a pirchei leader in the 14th Avenue pirchei, they gave out Goldberg peanut shoes. And the pirchei was half Chassidish kids and half, maybe a third Chassidish kids. They were very makbid. It bothered me, they gave out peanut shoes. So I asked Ramesha. I told Ramesha that in the pirchei we have families that are makbid, we give out peanut shoes. So Ramesha said to me, it's enough to be makbir on the Chol of Mamish, you don't have to be machmir on the blias of the Chol of. He didn't meant in America, we have this kula, Ramesh's kula, so he said it's enough to be machmir on the thing itself, you don't have to be machmir on blias. So therefore the dairy equipment issue is not such an issue. Now I want to tell you something about plants, in America, big plants. All big plants is a major difference.
Just one second. On cereals, which is, have used equipment, so according to Ramesha, it would be fine.
It would be fine. Now again, I told you there may be a Trafus issue today, which makes it worse, but ignoring that, just talking about what exists in the time of Ramesha, yeah. Now there's a very big difference between a plant that makes a liquid and a plant that makes a solid. And the reason is this. The way the machinery typically works, let's say you have a vat. They use steam vats for cooking today mostly. So let's say it's hard to know an example. Let's say they make jelly. They make jelly. Jelly has to cook in a vat for an extended period. So you need shishim in the contents of the vat against the walls of the vat. And we have a Kabbalah that kalim don't have shishim against their own walls. They always have shishim against the Kedei Klipa, never shishim against the walls. So therefore, there's a problem. If the kalim are treif, it's a problem. When running liquid is used, there's not a problem. For example, when they make orange juice they pasteurize orange juice on milk, on the same machinery as they pasteurize milk. The liquid runs through pipes as it's being produced. And since you have a running product through the pipes, there is always shishim because you have a constant flow of whatever it is that's being treated. It doesn't sit. Things that don't sit, that run like an assembly line type of a thing, there's always shishim because there's a constant flow of liquid, and therefore it's not an issue. Now, years ago, I wrote a letter to, is it Delwood that makes milk and orange juice? I wrote a letter to them asking them how they clean the machinery between the milk and the orange juice, and they sent me back a letter describing it, which I took to Rav Palm, and he felt that it was adequate for kashering, despite the fact that it wasn't for treifus, he wouldn't have relied, it was not 212, but the kashering temperature was higher than the pasteurization temperature, and they used caustic substances when they cleaned it, so it was simach on that's adequate. For treifus mamish, yeah.
Oh, for treifus.
Yeah, but for this, he was simach on it.
For
a kli rishon, you need 212. Hmm? For something that's a kli rishon, you have to kasher in 212. Something has a flow of water, I never asked your problem. There's a difference in a kli rishon and something that has a flow. A flow is never 212. So I can't tell you what he would have held. But
Belsky held that if you see the vapor, you see the...
If you see condensed, that's what he
held. Condensed, you see it's good enough. He held that it was good enough.
Yeah, Ramesh has a tshuva in which he says not to kasha with steam. It's nothing to do with Chavis or Adavka. Ramesh has a tshuva not to kasha with steam. He says, kashering, Hagolah, we have a Kabbalah, how Hagolah works. How can we imagine ourselves kashering with steam? Now, something where the blia goes in through steam, with Saimach kashering through steam, because Kabbalah Kapolta, if you have a microwave, and the steam is what made a tray, we rely on steam. But something that becomes treif with real blias to kasha with steam, Ramosha was not makel. In industry today, it's necessary, some things can be kasha, except with they use, they call them steam blowers, to kasha. So Rav Belsky is makel that if the steam blower creates a layer of condensed hot water on the surface of whatever you're kashering, that's adequate. The steam is more than 212. That's adequate. Maybe that's what you're referring to. Anyway, so we have here in Sifkat Nehe, a very important rule that Bliyais of Cholavakum is a machlaikis, and therefore as a tzirif, it's an adequate tzirif. Okay, we'll pick up from here next time. I hope to remember to get my list of other products that are included in cheese or in milk, Hashem, Thursday.